This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes, does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Playtesting. It's episode 189. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. Subscribe to WEI. Find the Playtesting playlist there. Has all of our episodes. So hit the thumbs up button there on all those episodes. Find us on Playtesting on all of the socials, especially now because we are here in Fort Myers. We got a ton of content. We did work. And in this episode, we're giving you guys, we're going to do a quick drop on the Garrett Crochet interview that we got. Met Crochet yesterday. He was nice enough to give us some time today to interview with us. So, I don't know. Do we just jump right into this Crochet interview or any quick comments before we get into it?
Crochet, very nice guy. He's gigantic. He looks like a starting pitcher. I feel so safe when he's on the mound. I'm like, okay, we're in good hands, Red Sox fans. Garrett Crochet is out there. Oh, he's got runners on base? Okay. Good luck.
I think he's the first guy that we've met, and this is including, like, Roman, Marcelo, Christian, all those guys, where I see them, like, oh, they're younger than me. Garrett Crochet, I would have guessed, was 10 years my senior. He is massive. Yeah. He is so big. In, like, exactly when you hear, like, a horse starting pitcher, that's exactly what he looks like.
So, yeah, that super nice of him to give us the time. Let's just jump right into it. Here's the Playtesting debut for new Red Sox ace Garrett Crochet. All right, we're here with Red Sox ace Garrett Crochet. Garrett, super excited to have you here, man. Just everyone always asks where you were when you got the news that you were traded here, but I want to hear about what was the rest of the day like that day. What, just take me through it.
Yeah, so we had all of our furniture in a storage unit in Chicago, so that was like the first thing that we were thinking about. How are we going to get that to Boston? What's Florida spring training going to be like? Luckily, we knew Liam and Christy Hendricks, so they were able to kind of help us out in terms of finding housing. I was in contact with a lot of the guys pretty quickly, so that was really cool. It was just exciting, though, in general. Like I've, said in prior interviews, it's like going back to, I say May, but more so June is when I knew it was like a real possibility of getting traded. Finally having those questions answered, it just gave me a sense of security.
Brand new roster for you, a lot of stars in the clubhouse. Who stood out to you the most so far?
Watching Buehler throw in person is pretty special. I worked out with him a little bit a couple years ago, but I don't think I ever even saw him throw a bullpen. So seeing that guy up close has been really cool. From a hitting standpoint, like a lot of the guys, like I already knew what they were capable of in terms of Bregman, Story, Devers. But seeing Masataka up close has been pretty special. He gets his swing off so fast. And, throughout spring, he's been pretty hot. He was pretty hot in live ABs, too. I didn't face him, but, just watching other guys face him, You know, left on left would be different, but for me it was like, what are you guys even throwing him here? Like, what can you throw him right now? Seems like he was on time for everything.
So there's Bears, Packers, there's Celtics, Lakers, there's Red Sox, Yankees. Does that fuel you at all, being a part of a giant rivalry like that?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm trying not to make it too big. You know, you watch the comeback and all that stuff, and it's huge. And I love that. I feel like that's more so for the fans, because for us, I mean, our rival is anybody that's not wearing red and navy.
Yeah.
So, obviously, like I said, Sox fans super excited to have you here, want to have you here for as long as possible. What would it mean to you to spend an extended period of time with the Sox? And in your eyes, is there any chance of that coming together before opening day?
Before opening day, I'm not really thinking that there's much possibility right now. I'm more so focused on just playing out the season. But just like the prospect of being here long term is incredibly exciting. You know, we just talked about the rivalry. It's just such a storied franchise. With like you said too, a lot of star power here. So it's a team that I think is built to win, and it's filled with youth. So it's got the capability to win for a long time, which is very exciting. Yeah, a lot of pros for sure.
All right, now let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
What besides baseball are you an expert in?
Oh, not a whole lot. My wife always says, like when we go to the aquarium, that I would be a good aquarium tour guide. I always had a weird thing for like fish. Like I always had aquariums growing up, and it was like just like get obsessed with anything that I enjoyed or found interesting. So it was like, I enjoyed keeping fish, so that was like kind of my thing. So I know like a lot of random facts like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, what I want to know, give me your biggest controversial food take. Hot take about food.
You don't need veggies.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't eat vegetables.
Yeah,
that's a Pat Brown special.
I don't need vegetables at all.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you. Have you seen The Town?
Yes, I have. I haven't seen it since probably sixth or seventh grade, honestly, because I was looking it up the other day, and I think that you got to rent it on Prime.
Yeah, it used to be on Max, and it was on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
But question being, you're Robin Fenway.
Yeah.
You get.
Here we go.
Yeah. You get three teammates, people with the team, however you want to divvy it up,
yeah.
And a getaway driver. Who are you picking and why?
Getaway driver. I'm trying to think of who drives reckless on the team, and that would probably be Holty, bullpen coach Holt. All right, now who do I got with me? I'm gonna go with Jaren because he's really fast. Okay. I'm gonna go with Masataka because he seems super shifty and like unassuming. I feel like he could really blend into the crowd. Who else? I feel like I just need like a powerhouse now. Oh, I'm going Romy Gonzalez.
Romy?
Yeah. I'll take that guy in a fight.
There you go.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, Garrett, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, big thanks to Garrett Crochet for giving us the time, making his playtesty debut. Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious biggest takeaway from that is the story of this week too, which was that he doesn't think that an extension is going to come together before opening day. Obviously, it's not due to lack of interest on his part. It just seems like there's a gap in talks. There were reports a couple of days before we recorded this, and we recorded it on Sunday. But yeah, there were reports on like Friday that an extension may not come together, and he certainly sounded like he believed that too, which is obviously disappointing. Like to me, I thought the offseason kind of hung on the string of a Garrett Crochet extension. Like I'd be nervous as hell until that gets done personally. That's just me.
Yeah, not only is it dumb not to extend Garrett Crochet, it's also stupid not to extend him. The grade for the offseason, in my opinion, goes down significantly if he's not extended. It's still a good offseason. I'm happy he's aboard, of course, but like, I mean, I don't know how many times we have to say this. Why would you trade all that prospect capital if you're not planning on keeping that guy long term? And I really feel like the conversation ends there. What more is there to say about it? The Red Sox have to get it done. And one thing I don't want to hear is, and they kind of alluded to, I believe it was Breslow. It might have been Sam Kennedy. Correct me if I'm wrong. But one of them said, the ball is in Crochet's court.
It was Sam
Kennedy.
Yeah.
That's, come on. The ball's in his court. It's a negotiation. It's not one guy or the other. It's a two-party thing. So I don't want any more gaslighting of the fan base with stuff like that. That's how I hear that. I know people will disagree, but that's how I hear that comment, saying like, oh, it's in his court, which implies that we, the Red Sox, have done our job. Yeah, sure. Okay, I'm not buying that. So I still feel fairly confident that they'll get him extended, less confident that it'll get done before the season starts. Of course, you never know. Things come out of nowhere. The Red Sox work in the shadows, but you have to get it done. There's absolutely no excuse.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is he has one very, very, very good year under his belt. There is some risk in it, and kind of approve it, see how he pitches. I get that part of it. The big part of it is, if this is not done by opening day, you have to be willing to go the distance to buy him out of free agency. Because at that point, he's a year away, which I get, like, there's some, it obviously, the 26th season, I guess, that's a lot to ride on. Because if you don't pitch well, you're a 26-year-old free agent with two good years in a middle or bad year. That's a weird market to be in, gets a security. I get that part of it. But if he goes out and wins the Cy Young, or he's top three in Cy Young voting, he's a 26-year-old top five pitcher in baseball. That's a guy that, realistically, I think if they gave him a five-year contract offer for like $125, $140, that gets it done.
Right now or after the season, you think?
Right now.
Right now.
I think, because you get the 3 years of free agency. He hits hits open market again at 30. I think that's a fair deal both sides. If he goes out, deals, and he's, a top three Cy Young candidate, then you're talking, you know, $250, $300 million and up.
The downside is just, like, I understand being a little bit afraid just because he hasn't yet put together a full 200-inning season of dominant pitching. I get that. But the downside of not getting it done, and it's immense. Pat just said it. And it's just a little bit frustrating, because when they traded for Crochet, one of the biggest reasons why I was so excited about the prospect of trading for him is the whole extension thing, because he's open to it. And he said as such last year, he said as such this offseason. He talked about it with us, about how this team is built to win, and he'd love to be a part of it. But yeah, just it would be disheartening to see them drag their feet and kind of not really learn from what happened with Devers, because we saw this with Devers too. Like, there was a reasonable number that could have gotten it done, and yeah, they got it done, but they ended up having to pay him over $300 million, and we'll see for years to come how that impacts what they're able to do financially. It could be the same with Crochet. I don't want the guy to get away. I would pay him what he wants, and I would go over the top to keep him, as opposed to risk losing him in free agency as a 27-year-old if he gets there. To me, if I'm him and I don't have an extension, I go out there and have a baller year like we all think he will. I wouldn't sign an extension next year. I understand he's had injuries, but no, I wouldn't sign one. The upside of waiting till free agency at his age with his shit, we've seen what he's done this spring. It's crazy. He has been fucking unreal. Like, am I missing something? I just don't understand why you wouldn't get it done. And you know, I don't want to hesitate to put any of it really on Crochet, just because he's expressed such a willingness to talk when so many guys in his position wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. We talk about the risk in extending him, and I get that. That's not lost on me. But is that not a conversation that they should have before trading for him? It feels out of order to me to trade for a guy like this with 2 years of control left, and then be like, yeah, we did give up a haul of prospects, but it might be risky to extend him. That should have been the conversation long before the trade. If you're trading for him, it should be with the thought of, we're going to extend him. I feel like this conversation is unbelievably simple. It does not have to be complicated. And I agree with you, Gordo. I would give him what he wants. I'd overpay. Hate that term. The price is the price. But I'd give him what he wants. It's just, again, it's so simple. And that's why it's frustrating that he's not extended. And
you know what? Maybe they get it done anyway. Like, we talked about this together as a group, but like, Crochet, it was, oh, they're not really in on Crochet, and then they got Crochet.
Mm-hmm.
Bregman, it was, oh, they're not in on Bregman. They've moved on. It's going to be Arenado, and then it was Bregman. Yeah. So yeah, at the buzzer, this could get done. But to me, that maybe the example of a deal that a team wouldn't necessarily want to take to the buzzer is the one with your opening day starter? Because it's not like they're going to – like the Yankees negotiated with Aaron Judge up until the wire of the game of opening day. You're not going to do that with your starting pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, I literally have nothing to add to that. It's so – again, it's simple. Extend the guy, and if you don't, why the hell did you trade for him in the first place? It's insane. Then the only – unlikely reason that it could be okay to not extend them is if they win the World Series in the next 2 years, which, you guys seen the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think my big thing right now, I think the biggest difference between now and a year from now, aside from dollar amount, obviously, is there for sure right now is a number. Like, Garrett has a number that he's willing to put pen on paper, and they're not meeting it. Next year, if he's dead set on free agency, which he very well could be if he balls out next year, you're now throwing numbers at him, praying you can get high enough for him to forego free agency. And that is so incredibly risky, because look at how the Blue Jays have just completely fucked the Vlad situation. Vlad situation, somehow, some way, the Astros did not extend Kyle Tucker within the last 6 years. They have to move on off of Kyle Tucker. Like, there are guys who, once they hit, you know, like, their peak, their prime, they're really going, they want as much money as they can get, and that's going to come via free agency. And a year from now, it's hard right now to get him under contract because you're not meeting his number. Next year it's going to be hard because he has the prospect of free agency less than a year away, and he's going to make whatever you're offering him or more. And it's not a good spot to be in. It's a really, really bad spot to be in. And I hate that it's coming down to the wire. I'm with you guys. They, unfortunately, have a knack for kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's at the finish line, or like right before things really are all said and done. I hope this is another one. I just hate that it's gotten this far and there's no closure on it.
Yeah. And we knew when we asked that question that this was going to be the answer. So it's not like that came as a shock to us. But, I mean, obviously, so it wasn't like it was a super disappointing thing to hear in the moment. It was what we expected. And the rest of the interview was awesome, and he was super generous with his time to give us the interview, which was super cool for us. I mean, that's the guy that we were begging them to trade for months before it happened, and it was super exciting. One of my favorite episodes of the offseason was the Garrett Crochet reaction podcast. So to have it come full circle and get to speak to him at spring training was really cool. But, you know, even though that aspect of it may not be exactly what we wanted to hear, let's talk about the vibes at spring training as a whole. Sammy, with you especially, because we were there last year, and I would say that the vibe this year was different. Like, the vibe last year, incredibly upbeat, incredibly loose. Guys were in a great mood. They were excited to get the season started. People were joking around. This year, to me, people were still in good moods, but it definitely felt more businesslike. Like, it's go time, and you know, guys were doing their business, and they were, a lot of them were super generous to draw or to do interviews with us, and we're excited to drop those for you guys. We'll figure out a schedule for all that, and probably won't tell you. You'll probably just have to get them when they drop. But I mean, tons of guys. But let's get the vibe check first, Sammy. Do you agree with what I said?
Yeah, businesslike is a good way to put it. It there's just a different vibe inherently when you're with a team that you think can contend, legitimately contend. And, you know, there's holes on this team. There's a lot of question marks. We've been talking about it like crazy. But last year when we went, a lot of coping. I'll speak for myself. I was coping so hard. I'm thinking, what if this guy has a breakout season? What if that guy has a breakout season? What if this guy comes back from injury? This year, like we've said before, plan A and plan B, and in some cases plan C, they're pretty good. So I feel really good about this team. It's tough to put your finger on it. It does feel more business-like. The guys felt more enthusiastic rather than just like, oh, yeah, spring training is light. Like, it feels like they're ready to play baseball games. Like, you could tell, like, they're going to Mexico soon as we drop this, and they're like, yeah, we're going to Mexico. But, like, you can tell they're ready for Texas. They want the rubber to hit the road, and they're ready to go. So and that just gets me going. I'm so fired up for this team. I feel way more excited for this season than I did for last season. And last season, I was going nuts on opening day. So I don't even know what's going to happen to me on opening day this year.
So business is the perfect way, perfect word to describe what's going on, because some of these guys have been here, you know, 6 weeks, well over a month, and there's no signs of fatigue or like being done with spring training. Giolito walks out of the clubhouse. He's a man on a mission. We were like afraid to talk to him. He was so locked in.
Goes, but then we do talk to him, and he's like the nicest guy.
And he's
ever.
Just nerding out about Pokemon. Yeah. Same thing with like Walker Buehler. He's another guy in and out of the clubhouse. He is straight face. He's going out, throwing his pens, helping the other guys, coming in, and just going about business. Everyone's doing it. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is seeing like this far out of kind of like the same monotonous kind of routine. Like, it's spring training game, lift, workout, pitch, whatever. Everyone across the board is locked in. And then it's like, we're getting guys either before their workouts and everything, or at the end of the day when they wrap. Like, when they're there, they're just A, B, C. Yeah. They're flowing, they're going, and it's – I was excited before. I'm more excited now.
You mentioned Walker Buehler specifically. So we tried to get Walker Buehler. He was busy. That guy's a motherfucker. He was locked in. Another guy that just makes me, as a Red Sox fan, feel so much more confident. His attitude, when he was like – maybe we'll do an interview.
Crochet said it too. Like, we asked who he was, what did we ask him? Who he's been super impressed by. And Walker Buehler was his guy. He's like, it's crazy to watch that guy go about his business every day.
It was funny because we got turned on for the interview. We're like, God dang, it really would have been cool to have Buehler. But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, this guy's so locked in. This is cool. This is so like, I don't know. I'm so ready to go as a fan. I wish we could skip the Mexico trip, but you got to do it.
So, Pat, I got to ask you. Your first spring training trip, well, first in this capacity, because you've been one time before, right?
Yeah.
Been one time before, but not – I've been to spring training a few times before last year. There's nothing like going in this capacity. It's crazy. What were your – like, what immediate takeaways from the trip? I mean, at the park, beyond the park – We basically made Twin Peaks our home. Like, great times, man. Like, immediate impressions.
Leave it
how
at
much
that.
Do you love the state of Florida? Tell me how much you love the state of Florida.
Throw Gordo under the bus for how much he likes this state.
Gordo's not shut the fuck up about how everything in Florida is perfect and splendid, and it's all rainbows and sugar drops, and it's insufferable.
Anyways, Florida.
No, coming in this capacity is so different, and especially too, like, everyone is just like, as much as they are like business and serious and everything, everyone is just like down to talk. Everyone's saying hi. Like, it's just loose. It's fun. And it's the best time in the world. Like, coming down here, these guys, they're not in the season yet. Like, they're getting to that stretch where it's, you know, a week before opening day. They're ready to go, but they're still out about talking, doing everything, and it's awesome. And I think my biggest takeaway personally, the backfields are so much bigger than I ever envisioned. It is so big.
They're huge. Also want to add that, speaking of big, Aroldis Chapman is
massive.
A mammoth of a man. He's not only tall, but he's like, he looks like an NFL player. And when he was doing his long toss, he sailed a few throws. I thought I was going to die. That was scary. Oh my God, throws gas. Also, Richard Fitz, funniest guy on the team by a mile. We were joking around with him. Then we go to eat in the media room. They cut to the dugout, and you see Richard Fitz clearly cracking jokes to the teammates, and they're kind of looking at him like,
and he's just
he's cracking up.
Ass off, yeah.
He's great. Yeah. If you're a Red Sox fan getting into this team, Richard Fitz is a guy that you should root for. He's great. Dick Fitz.
Other biggest takeaway, I don't know how I forgot this. Christian Campbell is a top five nicest person I've ever met in my life.
Oh, he's so nice. Yeah.
Christian Campbell, every time he walked by us, would stop and dead in his tracks. How you guys doing? How's your day going? And we'd talk to him for 5-10 minutes. He'd go off on his way. 2 hours later, he walks by again, stops, talks. Like, he's just the nicest kid in the world. I cannot wait for him to be on the major league roster.
Such an easy guy to root for.
Yeah, cannot come fast enough.
Yeah. So recap. What do we have for people? So you had the Crochet one today, and this is in no order because we haven't discussed the order or when we're going to post these. Mm-hmm. We're going to spread it out a little bit. So we have Crochet,
Murph,
Chris Murphy,
Whitlock,
Garrett Whitlock,
Giolito,
Lucas Giolito,
Fitz,
Richard Fitz,
Marcelo
Meyer,
Roman
Anthony.
We already said Crochet, and
No, there's...
Oh, what do you call it? D'Angelo Ortiz.
Oh, D'Angelo Ortiz.
D'Angelo Ortiz.
Yeah, that sneaky, was, maybe the best one of the bunch.
Yeah, he was great. The expert thing, his answer alone was crazy. How fast it came out was even crazier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we asked the what are you an expert in, to a lot of guys, and some guys had more interesting answers than others. His was probably... I mean, most guys had to hesitate a little bit, think about it. I mean, these guys, all day, every day, it's baseball. So you got to think a little bit. And you would, too, if it's like, okay, this is the thing you spend the most of your time on. Basically, what's the second most? Everyone thought about it, whatever. D'Angelo Ortiz, snap your fingers, and he thought of it, and it was probably the most interesting one, too. We're obviously not going to spoil it. You're going to have to wait for that. But any final words on spring training before we get on out of here? I know we got to get to dinner. But, I mean, it was just overall takeaway. Just I look forward to this so much every year. I love when we do it, too, because, I mean, spring training can drag. But for us, it's like you get to, you know, the middle to end of March. You go to spring training at the end. Now it's basically just you go home and there's only a few extra days left to kill. And, I mean, we're going to be at opening day before you know it. And then the grind of the full 162 starts. So this is a really cool, you know, last hurrah of the off season. Or maybe more of an introduction to the regular season, to the grind.
There is no one on planet Earth who is more excited for this Mexico trip than Alex Cora. Today, he walked out of the clubhouse.
More excited.
There's no one more excited than Alex Cora.
That was...
He was being wildly sarcastic.
That was sarcasm.
Oh, okay.
That was wild. All right. Gorda's too much time.
We're all sleep deprived. Yeah. We're all very sleep deprived. The humor is missing us.
No one more excited for this Mexico trip than Alex Cora. Came out today. What's going on, boys? Daps us up. We go, you ready for Mexico? And he goes, ooh, Mexico. Woo! And with a straight face, no smile. He does not want to go to Mexico.
My biggest takeaway is never, ever, ever forget sunscreen when you're in Florida.
Oh my God, yeah.
Pat probably got it the worst. Good opportunity to show off the biceps and the triceps. This isn't even bad.
It was so much worse.
Much improved.
Every person we interacted with for the last few days has just been like, hey man, you're really sunburned. And it's great because I'm also really sunburned, but you're so sunburned that it kind of takes the spotlight off of me. So I appreciate you taking the bullet.
Yeah, so the first day we were there, we did not bring sunscreen, which is incredibly stupid.
For the record, the reason we didn't is because last year there was sunscreen in the media room. This year we get there and there's no sunscreen there, and it's like, okay, well, we'll try to spend the first day mostly in the shade, and we'll probably be okay, and we just so were not.
Yeah, so we didn't have sunscreen, and I was like cognizant of it. I was looking at my arms, and I was like, okay, good, good, good. Like all day long, I was checking in, like, intervally. Is that the word? In intervals. And then the very last person we talked to, I think the last person, honestly, who was at the facility was Chris Murphy. And within 30 seconds of saying, like, hi, what's up, whatever, he goes, dude, sunscreen tomorrow. And I go, what? Somehow in the 3 minutes between I had just recently checked, I was neon. It was so bright. And I was like, I've been checking all day. He's like, there's no way. You are so red. And then you guys are fucking bullying me on Twitter for having red arms.
Not just us. Everyone.
If you want
to see the best picture of Pat's red arms, the picture of us talking to D'Angelo Ortiz, it's absurd. Yeah, it is ridiculous.
It's worse, too, because my sleeves on my shoulders are kind of like rolled up a little bit. So there's such a definitive line from pasty Irish white to neon red.
We also did all of our interviews, other than one, seated. So now everyone can see my weirdly shaped body with very short legs and a very long torso. It all adds up.
Look at this. Look at this sitting next to Sam. Do you see this, Pat? I didn't even notice this.
I'm slumped. I'm shaped.
I'm a little slumped too, but look at
I'm shaped bizarrely. Here, I'll sit up straight. Long torso. Short. Then look at my legs. I got little, like, twig legs and then long torso. I should have been a swimmer.
All right, we're going to wrap it on that.
I'm on like 4 hours of sleep. So
we're tired. But appreciate you guys tuning in. Episode 189 of Playtesty. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey, Spotify, Apple. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on the WEEI YouTube page. Subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. And find us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. We're going to be having so many social videos coming out soon. So keep an eye on those pages. Keep an eye on your podcast feeds for these interviews. We'll be dropping them. But till then, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Episode 189 of PlayTessie. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.